And I'm not sure. I think our sound guy is asleep for once. We need to wake him up. But welcome live here on Blog Talk Radio for GSU Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. I promise you it will go a lot better than our sound guy's day is apparently going. Of course, we are brought to you today by Impact Media, who will again take a bow, even though we're on radio and you cannot see them. Thanks, guys. Tons we want to get into today. Obviously, the baseball team has been slowly lighting it up, or at least the bats have been lighting up. It's been nice to get some pitchers back on the mound. And some football talk as well. But without further ado, I want to bring on our very special guest. Of course, if you are a fan of 24/7 Sports or GSU Panther Talk, you know him. He is Ben Moore. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great, man. Happy Hump Day Wednesday for you, and it felt like spring today. Pretty nice, and like you said, a lot going on down in Atlanta.
It definitely is, and I'll apologize on behalf of our sound guy, who is our rule here at the studio is with anything that happens on a live show, which can easily happen, but we actually have a secondary guy covering it right now because the first guy is taking a lap around the complex.
That's about right. I've seen one or two or three of those happen. Covering GSU sports, for the last past, I guess, 8 to 10 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just had to come up with that. Luckily, I've been pretty lucky that I haven't had to take a lap in the middle of the show, but I'm sure at some point it's going to happen. Of course, like I said, you are with 24/7 Sports, and you do a show called GSU Panther Talk. And, since a lot of people may or may not be familiar with you, I was going to give you the chance to kind of explain what 24/7 Sports does and, of course, what you do with Panther Talk.
Sure. Yeah, no problem at all. Been with the network. 24/7 Sports is a national database, similar to Rivals.com, ESPN Scout Sync, Scout.com. They're the competition basically as it stands there. I'm the publisher, editor, some of the time writer, basically to any kind of games coverage and things like that. 24/7 Sports is synonymous with recruiting. Specifically college football recruiting, as we know, this is the South, and it's one of those scenarios where guys want to know where guys are being offered and being wooed and where they're going to end up and sign on the first Wednesday in February. So we've been with 24/7 Sports for about 3 years. Before that, was an independent, just PantherTalk.com. My business partner and I, Ryan Elliott, he's kind of the brains. I'm the mouth, as I like to say, the guy who was the brains of the operation. But he ran the site for 3 additional years prior to that. And quite honestly, we just, our entire staff are GSU grads. I graduated in 2003 with a bachelor's in journalism. Thought I wanted to be a sports writer. So now I get to write for a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there, and get to do some podcasts. And we have a lot of fun, man. It's, there's always something going on down the Concrete campus. And whether it's covering spring football, which continues as it's going on. I mean, I think practice number 7 was yesterday. I had some recruits on campus today. We cover pretty much everything that we talk about. Of course, the impending Turner Field purchase and basketball, baseball, and anything that comes out. Excited to see former Panther R.J. Hunter in town. He's in town this Saturday. So if your listeners don't have tickets to go see the Hawks, and the Boston Celtics should be an exciting game as well, but another member of the Panther family coming in this Saturday. So we'll be down there, get to catch up with RJ post game and get to do things like that, man. That's the fun part. Get to cover the school that I was lucky enough to attend and graduate from, and fortunately able to draw a paycheck to do it. It's not a bad racket for sure.
No, it's definitely not. And as we both learned, because, as we learned right before the show started here, we were chit-chatting and realized that the same person kind of brought us into the Georgia State family.
Yeah, it's a small world. It's interesting about Georgia State because, it's been a Division I program in all sports since 1963, 1964. And, you can't, it doesn't have a huge fan base, a huge tradition or anything like that, but you have so many folks that are a part of the kind of Panther family and extended Panther family that you run across and enjoy the school or vicariously live through the school. And it's a lot of fun. And you were just rapping about Harper LaBelle, talking to him about that. And I know he's done He's done local radio for several years, and he and I, believe it or not, actually did a tailgate show with Brian Finneran, who of course became famous this weekend covering Villanova, but doing a tailgate show back in 2012. So it's just a small world, I guess.
Wow, I will have to ask him about that, because that's probably one of the few things I didn't know about was that show back then. I guess that was right before I ran across him. So that's good to know, and it's crazy. Harper it has like a media tree where a lot of coaches have their coaching tree where, you know, all the people that worked under them went on to do other things. I find that every time I talk to somebody, they seem to know Harper or Harper has something to do with it. So we'll give a shout out to him right now. I know he is probably not listening. I think he's actually on spring break, which I believe you're on with your kids as well. So I'm glad you enjoyed the zoo earlier. It's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, no doubt. I wasn't the only one with that idea. That with 13 metro Atlanta counties, it was packed.
Definitely so. But, you know, I got you on here so we could talk about football and baseball. We'll start with football. And, you know, what was your general overview of the season this year?
I guess last year it turned out, I will say this. It was something that of a disappointment, and then November happened, and that's kind of almost how I would summarize it. Most folks had checked out from an early loss to, you know, first year FBS school Charlotte, just not the most aesthetically pleasing game. In a weird scenario too, it was a 3:30 afternoon kick on a Friday, a getaway Friday during Labor Day. Most fans didn't bother to show up. And unfortunately, neither did the offense. We later found out that quarterback Nick Arbuckle, who just is the big, you know, one of the craziest gunslingers there is, and who actually worked out for the Atlanta Falcons today with several other members of the squad, couldn't get started. And a lot of folks got down on that. You know, the team basically opened the season 2-6. And you thought, okay, well, this is year three of the Trent Miles era. This may be it, you know. And there was legit conversation both nationally and locally to say, hey, you know what? The fans aren't going to support a continuous losing product. Had been tabbed one of the worst programs in FBS. And then all of a sudden, you get to November, and you rip off four straight wins. And now a team that was sitting 2-6 is now 6-6 and bowl eligible. And to, you know, put land a haymaker down in Statesboro to hand the Georgia Southern Eagles, a program that has won national titles, certainly has had very strong success in their transition to FBS, to give them their largest home loss ever was quite a statement. And it's something that certainly, you know, I think shook, you know, sent shockwaves. I mean, I've talked to people who said it shook up at least 13 different bowl alignments, the fact that people did not believe that Georgia State was going to beat Georgia Southern, not just beat them, but you know, beat them, you know, basically by four touchdowns. I have friends who cover this kind of thing, and I've challenged them. You know, Georgia State was more than a 22.5-point underdog in that game. And not only do 22.5-point underdogs cover less than 3% of the time, they – less than 1% of the time win outright. And I asked some of the folks out there in Vegas, if you not only had a 22.5-point line, but then to add 27 from it, the absolute margin, and I basically have gone back about 50 years, and there's nothing that I can find. It was truly one of those days where the football gods smiled on Georgia State, and it was just absolutely whooping. And you know, to have that whole bowl week in the sixth year of the program, the third at FBS, just an incredible ride. Down there to Orlando, and you know what I kept telling people during that bowl week and down in Orlando, and folks, they were asking me questions about covering the team. I said, look, folks, you know, there's a ton of talent that comes back from this team, and that's what folks will just automatically write it off just because, hey, you know, you lost a couple of key pieces, including Nick Arbuckle. But I would caution folks to do that. 16 returning starters come back for already in the spring, and they're looking bigger and faster so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And the main thing I wanted to get into today, because I know you have you've actually been in a couple practices. I haven't been able to make it down there through obligations, through some other things we covered. But to me, there's three real big questions everybody always asks me about this year's team as opposed to last year. And then I actually added a fourth because it's pretty much the same to me, but it's the four position battles that I always get asked about. Obviously, quarterback replacing Nick Arbuckle. I don't think replace is the word. It's just trying to figure out where to go after the mark he left on the team. Obviously, who replaces Taris Batiste at safety, Joseph Peterson at linebacker, and then the one that I don't feel like anybody's really addressed yet is who's going to replace Will Lutz as the kicker and punter, you know? Feel free to go with whichever four you want there, and we'll try to break it down.
Sure. I'll start at the top. I think, honestly, the quarterback position is actually settled. I would say 95% confident that Connor Manning, the transfer from University of Utah, graduate transfer, went out there to Utah and finished his degree in 2.5 years. I believe you'll see number 7 under center against Ball State. I do. You know, he's kind of taken the reins. He's took first team reps in the first week and some change. They have a scrimmage this Saturday, and that is open for anybody that wants to come out there to the practice facility. He's looked sharper, knowledge of the offense is certainly going to be there, but you're not going to, wonder if this guy can pick up the playbook and pick up the offense. I mean, because his aptitude is very similar to Nick's. He has a persona very similar to Nick's, where he's all football all the time, a little bit longer. But he definitely has a quick release from what I've seen there live, and he's been pretty impressive. The incumbent, Amir Scaife, continues to get bigger. I know he's over 230 pounds now, and just looks like a linebacker, quite honestly, instead of a quarterback. But it's one of those situations where that battle will continue to get better. But I think number 7 will probably be under center if I had to make a prediction today. Luckily, it is in April, not August, but I do believe that you'll see number 7 be the starting quarterback to replace Nick Arbuckle. And I think, quite honestly, the offensive coordinators, has been changed. Of course, it was Jags before with Jeff Jagodzinski moving on, have a family issue there down in Florida. So Luke Huer takes over, and Luke has told me that he feels comfortable with number 7 under center. And, he was the only quarterback that he was going to go after this offseason. And I think that speaks volumes. He realized he knew what he wanted and wants to bring him in. And really likes the way he throws the ball, and I think with so many playmakers too, you just have to be able to be efficient and get the ball out on time. I think what the second one you hit there, replacing TB in the back third, Taris Batiste is moving on, exhausted his eligibility there. Brian Williams is a 4-year player in the system. I call him Little Bully because he's Georgia State's first ever legacy. He's the younger brother of former Panther tight end Arthur Williams, was nicknamed Bully. Brian's been taking snaps back there. It's been a good battle, too. You have Trent Hill, who's also a 4-year player, has been in the system for several years out of Martin Luther King, seeing those opportunities. And a guy that I like a lot, who played a ton on special teams last year, Cloves Campbell. And a JUCO guy, came out of Eastern Arizona, and was extremely productive. But I think one of those three guys is going to definitely take reps. And that's the other thing too. A lot of folks get caught up in, hey, who's going to start? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Coach Jesse Minard, the defensive coordinator, has been very upfront. Hey, look, we're going to get the best 11 on the field, one way or the other, especially on the whether it's run heavy, pass heavy, down, things like that. And that's why I think too. Joseph Peterson is the leading tackler, and a lot of folks are looking at that and say, hey, there's no way linebacker can take a step back. But Alonzo McGee is slid inside from his outside linebacker spot. He's a little bit more comfortable there, super athletic, and really can get after the passer there in the middle. And basically you add somebody that's a little bit bigger than Joe P, sitting at about 235, a little bit faster, a little bit taller, a guy that can get really, really cause some havoc inside. So it's going to be fun to watch. And I agree with you, what's your final sentiment there about kicker. There isn't, I don't believe, a kicker on the roster to replace Will Lutz today. I think they're going to look at several walk-ons that come on board this summer. And it's a situation where that battle is going to rage on pretty hard. You have a guy by the name of Brandon Wright, who went to school here in Atlanta. He probably is going to take over the punting job. He's not a guy that probably has the leg and the distance from the kicker. He's the kicker right now in spring, just because there's not anybody else on the roster right now that can really handle that job and simulate reps. But I think you're going to look at several different names that come up and guys that show up on the summer that nobody has an idea about. And I think that's going to be your winner there. This summer you'll have an unknown guy, And there's always – special teams are always interesting because guys that you don't have penciled in or you don't think about, for some reason they tend to appear in the summer, and then you look up and say, okay, yeah, that guy's going to be able to be an impact guy for us. It's exactly what Will Lutz was. I mean, he showed up, he was a walk-on, and then you know became one of the most prolific kickers in Georgia State history.
Yeah, definitely so. And real quickly, as far as kickers, I'm from Paulding County, is where I went to school and still have a residence here at the moment. And it seems like of the five high schools now, even back when I went to high school, there was only three, with the third just starting up. And it seems like we always had at least one, you know, pretty top-level kicker every time. So, I mean, if they're looking for one, maybe they should look this direction. But, I mean, I could make the same argument for DeKalb County, Gwinnett County, Cobb County. There's tons of talent in the state. I do agree with you on Connor Manning. From the time I heard his name mentioned as a possible transfer, I looked into him, and everything I saw on tape I really liked, and he did remind me of Nick. So it, you and another mutual friend of ours, Woody Bass, also said the same thing, that Connor looks like he's in the hot seat to go straight to the starter spot probably. As far as not really replacing, I hate using the word replace, but as far as taking over for Taurus, have they put any thought into moving Bobby Baker over, or just maybe using him as the leadership spot?
Yeah, Bobby settled at that other safety spot, and you know, really in Jesse Minter's defense, you know, you're going to have somebody who's going to be that free safety, you know, that rover position, and Bobby fits that pretty well. I mean, he's a guy who's an impact player back in the third. You know, he can really, really run. They were looking for somebody who could come in and just, you know, run support to replace TB. And I think that's the biggest thing that they're kind of aiming and seeing who can take that step. And again, you've got, two players who have been in the program for 4 years. This is their final rodeo now. And Brian Williams has seemed to have shed his injury issues from 2 years ago. He had an issue with his back, had an issue, herniated disc. That's always kind of scary, especially when you're talking about a safety who's coming up and approaching the ball violently in a strike position and things like that. Even kind of have back issues or anything like that. But he played 13 games last year. Had key moments, and I think it's another opportunity. He's ran with the one so far in spring. I don't take too much into that, just simply because it is spring. They want to look at so many different guys and how they react and reps and things like that. But having two seniors and they have played a ton, and then Cloves Campbell there in his role, who can slide at either position because he's physical enough. He weighs about 210 pounds. It's an opportunity to just, again, based on the scenario, based on what teams do well, and that's, if we look at the schedule, there's going to be, run heavy teams on this schedule. You're going to have teams that can pass it all over the yard. And I think you'll see guys move around a lot. And quite honestly, you may have multiple guys play a whole bunch of reps, especially at safety.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But those are the three and a half. I have gotten a couple questions about a lot of people don't remember Will's name for some reason. But they're always like, hey, did we lose that kicker guy? And I'm like, yeah, you did. So that's something to look at. But I think those are the four big battles, the ones everybody are going to talk about. Obviously, at the spring game, we'll get to see those guys perform. And I think that'll be the ultimate test. Even though it's a long time between the spring game and the opening game of the year, I think by the spring game, we're going to kind of figure out where people fall into place.
Yeah, no question. And don't be surprised, too, to see some guys, that are 4-year players, for example, like a Robert Davis or even a Keith Rucker. I mean, I got a chance to talk to Coach Trent Miles last Saturday at their first scrimmage, and he basically said, look, you may not see everybody go full go or having guys in non-contact drills because, he knows basically if you lose guys now to major injuries, they're not going to be playing in the season or they're going to miss significant time. So he's being smart about that. Keith Rucker was in a non-contact jersey, not because he was hurt, just because, hey, don't want, somebody to catch an ankle or something like that as tight end position. You may have guys on rep counts. You may have guys who may go out there and only play, 20, 25 snaps. you know, a week from Saturday, just because, you know what, you're not really, you know, needing it. You don't need to get Penny Hart hurt. You don't need to get, you know, Robert Davis hurt. Key cogs there, but you know, there's plenty of other position battles. Yeah, I'd even throw offensive line in there, quite honestly, where you got guys that need to play. Something to watch as well is you know, for the first time ever, you've got two guys who are early enrollees on the roster and in camp. And they've performed pretty well. They're running with the second and third teams. One is cornerback Cedric Stone, who's out of Independence High School in North Carolina. And his fellow Tar Heel State native Jonathan Effetti is a wide receiver, and he's also been running within the third string run. And, you know, guys that forego their, you know, basically final semester in high school to come and enroll at Georgia State, something that is very rare in college football, especially at the G5 level. You see it happen all the time in SEC and you know, Big 12, Big 10, things like that, guys who try to jump out and get a head start. But it's critical for those guys. They want to play. They want to get physically and mentally ready and have an opportunity to play. And I think that next – that kind of the fourth spot to maybe seventh or eighth, I think the wide receiver battle is going to be interesting to watch, especially moving in this spring. But, you know, then again, almost every single position is interesting to me. So I'm just looking forward to a good spring game and hopefully nice weather on the 16th.
Yeah, definitely so. And I know that at least I will. I don't know who else from Impact Media may be joining me, but I know I'll be at the spring game. Are you there as well?
Yeah, looking forward to catching up, man. No doubt about it. I'll be there.
Definitely so. That'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, we're on with Ben Moore of 24/7 Sports. Of course, he does a show called GSU Panther Talk. And, you know, as the music will tell us, let's go on out to the old ballpark here and talk about the baseball team. I got a chance to check out a handful of games. We actually had – from Primetime Sports, we had Caleb Johnson on a couple weeks ago. We happened to catch the same weekend of games, so it was fun getting to talk about all the things going on. But we talked about earlier, the main thing with the baseball team, it seems like, is a team with so much promise, and even Coach Brady really thought they were going to just really make a huge impact, for lack of a better word. And just the injury bug just decimated the entire bullpen almost.
Yeah, it's really tough because, you know, when you lean on, you know, especially at this level, you're going to have a scenario where you're going to have to find, you know, arms for your weekend rotation. And, you know, when you lose your number one starter, you know, when Cole Uvula, when he's gone to a Tommy John surgery immediately, he's your number one guy. So then that forces your entire rotation to shift forward. So your, you know, Saturday starter is going to move up, and you may put a guy in who say, you know what, he may not have been ready to be a starter. He's going to have to go and be a weekend starter. And I think that's the tough part too, you know, replacing a guy like Nathan Bates, who's so dominant, who's of course in the Anaheim Angels or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim organization now. That's the difficult part about it. And as you mentioned, Coach Freddy in the preseason thought this was his strongest pitching staff. He thought this was one of his most talented teams top to bottom, and really going to try to make a run up the charts there, basically in the Sun Belt, which is an excellent league. And that's the other side. I mean, you've had a team in Lafayette who has hosted a regional, who has been a number one caliber seed, has been ranked in the top five. Now I don't think they're as good as they were last year, this year, but they still have a national brand. Georgia Southern is very strong. Teams from South Alabama that are very good. Troy, I mean, the level of baseball in this conference is extremely strong. So you have to have the talent top to bottom, and losing several arms to Tommy John surgery pretty early, and basically season-ending situations. I mean, it shuffles your entire deck, and then you're scrambling from there.
Yeah, exactly. And in recent weeks, we kind of joked it was the first weekend that it really become chatter. Me and a couple of the other people covering the game, a couple of the scouts actually too, and some of the parents, we were curious if Coach Brady was going to come into the stands and see if any of us had any eligibility so we could throw a few innings, because it was really starting to look pretty bad there for a minute. And as far as I know, I still have 2 years, but I don't know, my degrees may cancel that out. But he has actually brought in outfielder Rhett Harper, who has pitched an inning here or there, and he actually hadn't been bad.
Yeah, and no, and that's the thing about it. You know, baseball more than anything else. You know, the guys that may specialize in one thing or another, they've probably done relief, you know, pitching in the past. And you got to find the guys with decent arms. And you know, it's you never want to, you know, get to that point. But at the same, you know, point, you look at, you know, just last Saturday, you have a doubleheader against UTA, and it absolutely gets into, you know, just craziness where it ends up being an 18-16 final decision. You're unloading your pitchers, especially in those doubleheaders, and that's the issue that we've seen is these back and forth and what used to be. I used to joke with Greg all the time, man. It was who can put up, you know, 10 or 12 runs on the board. That's how Georgia State baseball used to be. But now he said, hey, you know, I'm going to try to switch that up and go in and get into more games that, you know, they are pitcher friendly and pitcher heavy. He thought he had the horses to do that. We've seen games all over the board, you know, this year, and you know, the Panther offense has continued to perform pretty well at times. But then you go into an issue where, you know, you're not going to be able to put up 18 runs in a game, and like I said, to really tax your arms, already, you know, strained arms in a game like a doubleheader, playing 18 innings of baseball in one day, just makes it that much harder.
Yeah, and of course, one of the first games I attended happened to be when closer Wayne Wages actually was brought in to start, which I was kind of thrown back to start with, but, you know, with the way the injuries were, he's actually been able to step in and not only log some innings, but, I mean, he's kind of showing some of these scouts as well that he can be a starter, he can be a middleman, he can be a closer, he can do all.
Yeah, he's got a legit shot to make a Major League Baseball roster, and that's, you know, that's the one thing that you've really seen in this program in the last three cycles is just the Major League talent that has rolled in. And you know, I think also, and Greg's talked about as well, what he's been able to put in this 2016 signing class. He's really he and his staff have done a tremendous job, you know, grabbing, you know, the talent here in the Metro Atlanta and surrounding areas, bringing Major League talent. It's just, again, cultivating that. And to your point with Wayne, I mean, being able to put him in a situation where he's not only able to help the team, but showcase his own ability. You know, that's an opportunity where, you know, again, if you're having this conversation in January, you say, hey, Wayne Wages is going to start a couple games for you. You thought I was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And, the games over the weekend, like you said, there was a doubleheader because Friday's weather is typical Georgia weather, just ridiculous. And first part of that doubleheader, of course, Georgia State lost that one 9-5. But, you know, 5 is probably one of the lower run scores they've had. And then, like you said, the second part of Saturday's doubleheader, the 18-16 loss just taxes the entire team. But they finished up the weekend. On Sunday, they won 8-7, and all those games were against UT Arlington. And then yesterday against Auburn, in Auburn, actually, they only lost 7-4. But the problem I had with it was that for some reason the bats fell silent. I don't know if they left the bats in Georgia when they went to Auburn, but without Joey Roach putting two over the wall, this game would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and that's been the struggle. And honestly, this isn't one of the best Auburn teams they've had. I mean, they're struggling with came in with a losing record, and it's a situation too. You want big name wins, you know, especially when you go and you play those midweek games, whether it's, you know, Georgia Tech or Auburn. You know, Georgia stopped playing Georgia State a couple years back, and it's one of those you want to put a name, you know, win on the board to certainly help you get some confidence. And I agree with you. I don't know what exactly happened. Or what is happening when they play these big time opponents, but you know it's been tough to watch because we know certainly the offense is capable within the Panthers lineup. They just hadn't really put it together.
Right, and as far as some of the some of the main hitters this year, obviously Joey is the catcher. Joey Roach is by far not only the leader in the clubhouse, but just he seems to always lead the offensive charge. But Jarrett Hood's kind of come alive a little bit. Jack Thompson's really starting to do well. Will Kilgore's been able to put some stuff together. Justin Jones it's like he suddenly remembered how last year went, and he's figuring it out. Jalen Willard's been pretty solid as well. But the surprise to me, and maybe it's because I just didn't know a whole lot about him coming into this year, was James Clements, who is kind of a utility. He can play practically anywhere in the field. So whenever they can, whether he's DHing, whether they got him holding popcorn or whatever. It seems like you need this guy in the lineup. He's always getting at least a couple hits a game.
And I think every good team has one of those guys who can play just about everything. And, you know, it's one of those scenarios as well. When you have a guy who can play infield, can play outfield, be DH, and bounce around, I think that's, you know, you never know with injuries. You never know with guys who may or may not, you know, need a day off. And you mentioned, you know, Justin Jones. I mean, he had an injury preseason and really got off to a super slow start. And I think that really set him back and held him back because, I mean, I think he was going to be a key guy, especially early in the season, to kind of get guys going and really set the table. But I agree with you. I mean, James has really played well. And, you know, he's been a key player, you know, in this program. Quite honestly, he took a step back last year, didn't play, you know, great. But you know, you go back to 2 years ago. I mean, he basically came out, was that, again, utility guy, started some, but really came off the bench. And, you know, he was batted higher than 300. I know, off the top of my head, it was a quality guy. And it's, you know, that those kind of guys help you. I mean, you can count on them. And, I think that's the fun part, to see these guys continue to develop. And quite honestly, this is his last rodeo. You know, I mean, he's a senior. He's been in this program now, and he realizes, look, these may be the last few months of my college baseball career, maybe even my baseball career. I don't know. He hasn't put the stats or you know, may not have the skill set to go on to the next level. So it's critical that he can do whatever he can to help the team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And since I mentioned Jack Thompson, I did want to congratulate him on being named the Sun Belt Student Athlete of the Week. A lot of people, you know, there was a couple new faces in this year as Jarrett Hood was penciled in as the third base starter. Obviously, Jack was the first base starter, and then Will Kilgore at second. Something Caleb mentioned a couple weeks ago, and he's been out to a couple games since and said it's gotten better, but having Justin Jones not only get healthy, but get used to having a different guy at second base and Will Kilgore and the two of them trying to get on the same page, because if your middle infielders aren't on the same page, then it can unravel from there. But it seems like they're getting a little more familiar with each other.
Yeah, no question about that. And that's just, you know, it's a chemistry deal. You know, that's so critical, knowing exactly where the other person is going to be, especially up the middle, who's going to take, you know, certain ground balls, being able to turn two, being able to get, you know, be in the right place. And, you know, the longer you play with each other, the more familiarity you get. You know, I know errors have been an issue this year, as it has been in the past. And you know, you look up and down the roster, nobody's really kind of, been a huge contributor to that, but, you know, it's been key moments. And I think, again, that familiarity as you continue into Sun Belt play will continue to get stronger, and guys will continue to work each other. And you know, it's so different in baseball when you're playing basically four games a week. You don't have a ton of practice time. It's not like football where you get all week to practice and you have one game on Saturday. So it's a little bit different. You kind of have to work through things and, hope the chemistry develops.
And, of course, this weekend your Georgia State Panther baseball team will be at Little Rock Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, that is a 7 p.m., 3 p.m., and 1 p.m. respectively first pitch. And then Tuesday at 6, they will be at home against USC Upstate. Want to make sure to catch everybody up on that. If you're in town Tuesday, definitely try to catch that out or catch up on the game. They really are entertaining to watch. I know you get to watch them probably about as much as I do, maybe more than me. But one thing I've always liked in the short time that I've covered the team is not just the coaching staff and the team that Coach Brady puts together, but I like his demeanor. And now I'm one of those throwback guys. I enjoy a good fit as much as anybody, and it is part of the game. But I like that no matter, even if there's an umpire who is completely out of line, standing next to him yelling the whole time, his hands are up. He is just talking probably calmer than I am right now, and I love that about him. If he ever raises his voice, you really know somebody has perturbed him.
No question. He's a pro's pro, man, and that's the fun part. You know, and a guy that has represented this program well, and, you know, I was a huge congrats out to him earlier this season, passing Coach Mike Hirsch for all-time winningest baseball coach here, and that's something that I think is interesting, because you talk to people around Georgia State, they may not even know you have a baseball program, and Coach Freddie has been around more than a decade. He was on Coach Hurst's staff and has continued to be around, and just to see him interact. He's such a pro-GSU guy, and will go and talk to anybody, and he handles himself the right way, and honestly demands his players to handle themselves the right way, and I think that's been the most impressive thing about him. And I'm, like I said, fortunate to call him a friend. I've known him a long time, and I would encourage, like you just did, encourage folks to go out to Panthersville, watch this baseball team, and you'll be surprised at what you see, the quality. Not only the guys on and off the diamond, but just something that's impressive, and not too many folks too are huge, or have even been exposed to college baseball, and there's quality programs here in the state. No, too many folks don't really pay attention until it gets to College World Series or regional times at the very least. That's really when they turn it on. But it's a very different game than the professional game, and certainly would encourage folks to go out and support the Diamond Panthers.
Absolutely so. And before I let you get out of here, you got a Panther Talk coming up?
Yeah, we do. We do the PantherTalk.com podcast pretty regularly. We usually catch up with guests and just see rap about stuff. We caught up with Albert Wilson, former Panther, now with the Kansas City Chiefs. We do it for our Throwback Thursday. We got a few in the hopper now. We're going to be talking to several former basketball players, talk about different things that way. I'm trying to catch up with my guy RJ Hunter again. We may tape that down at Phillips Arena and play that for everybody next week. But we do it pretty regularly. We catch up with athletic director Charlie Cobb. He's been a busy guy. His son is going through the processes now to find himself a collegiate home. So he's had to catch him up on visits, and I've left him alone during that. But we catch up with them, and Coach Hunter's back from the Final Four, looking to get a hold of him as well. So we'll certainly put those out when we get them out and tweet them out. And I definitely appreciate you asking. Sure.
Yeah, as always. I mean, not just I tell people you're not just a person I have on. Everybody is a special featured guest, because you're going to add something to this that definitely I couldn't, and definitely your knowledge surpasses mine on a lot of different subjects. But if people do want to follow you, of course, on Twitter, you're at BenMoore247, at 247 Sports. Of course, that's 24/7. I know I've been corrected all day long on saying that wrong, but that's how it reads on the Twitter thing. So, but like you guys said, and of course at GSU Panther Talk, if you want to follow the show there. Did I get out all the ways they can find you?
That was great, man. I appreciate it. I have to hire you as my agent.
I actually did go to school to do that, but unfortunately, after one project of learning what it's like to be a sports agent, I decided elsewhere.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for that at all. No doubt about it.
No, I have a lot of friends that are sports agents as well, and they were like, "Nah, you're too smart to be an agent. Go do something else." So I talk about sports.
That's not a bad racket, man. It's not a bad backup plan for sure.
Exactly. And one thing I've been trying to do, I forgot the last couple episodes, and I've been reminded by people that I forget, is on each GSU Panther Zone, I try to leave everybody with a fact of the day, thanks to the fact that my wife and a lot of my friends like to drink Snapple. I get a lot of fun facts. So today's fun fact: a day on Venus lasts longer than a year on Venus. I didn't know that. Did you?
I did not. That's brand new information.
It is. And you heard it here first, and probably the only place you'll hear it. But you heard it here first. That's today's fact of the day, that a day on Venus is longer than a year on Venus. That would make the aging process kind of weird. But I guess since I'm done with my randomness, Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and we look forward to having you on hopefully later on in the season. We'll definitely see you at the spring game in a couple weeks. That'll be a week from Saturday, correct?
Yeah, a week from Saturday, April 16th, out at Panthersville. It's always a good time for folks that haven't been out there. It is a pretty festive atmosphere. Like I said, always looking for good weather out there, and normally they try to showcase, you know, some of the other Panther sports out there, whether it be baseball or softball, just depending on what's going on. But you know, a lot of optimism, very different vibes, I would say, from even last spring. You know, coming off a bowl game and having so many guys back, it'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely so, and there's plenty of food and vendors, and I'm sure there's merchandise you can pick up. You can meet amazing people like myself and Ben. And I believe they have bouncy houses again this year. So, you know, if you can't find me, look for the spiky-haired guy on the bouncy house. That's probably where I'll be.
You'll be there right with my kids. That works perfectly, no doubt about it.
See, there we go. And I won't even charge you to babysit.
Yeah, well, I need a few more of those. That's not a bad record right there.
I will. You know what? I can probably hook you up with that. I've made quite a few friends with a lot of the parents of some of the students and the athletes. So I'm sure we could get that taken care of.
Good deal.
But like I said, it's been a blast having you on, Ben, and I'll let you on with the rest of your evening, and we'll see you on later down the road.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. And, of course, that was Ben Moore from 24/7 Sports. He also does GSU Panther Talk, and he's just a fun guy. I'm glad I ran across him, you know, past just having to cross. We got talking. I realized that he covers the team just like I do, and he has that recruiting aspect. So it makes it more fun. He has a little bit in-depth knowledge as far as how people get to places and how well they're doing. And I knew he would be able to add something else so that you guys could enjoy this podcast as much as the rest of us do. But that's actually going to do it for me for this week. So, thanks to my guest, Ben Moore of 24/7 Sports. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Panthers!